Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here to share with you God's word and to also witness the baptism of so many of our brothers and sisters. It just reminds me when I was baptized 20 years ago. I almost say 200 years ago. On Christmas Day in this church, and after which the journey with the Lord has been wonderful. So may the Lord bless the candidates for your acts of obedience for His glory. Enjoy the journey ahead. Now, on behalf of the council, allow me to wish all of you a blessed Christmas. So, what is Christmas all about? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when we mention the word Christmas? So let's do a quick survey. Think about the first thing that comes to your mind. Raise your hand if the following gives you the answer. You ready? The first one. I'm talking about the turkey, not the dog. So anyone? You thought of turkey? No one. Nobody is hungry. Okay, never mind. Let's try. One more. Orchard Road. No one. Okay, we have one. Anybody else? You only go to Bedok Mall. Wonderful. One more. Christmas tree. Anyone? All right, wonderful. Or even the upside down one. Anyone? No. Okay. One more. Jesus. Wow, not too bad. You got it. End of message. The service is over. Just kidding. Thank you so much for your maximum participation. I was asking my children, what is Christmas about? So both of them told me, it's about Jesus. Presents is on the way. Allow me to share with you the first thing that comes to my mind this Christmas. It is this word, peace. I've been thinking about this for the past 1 month because I need to preach on it. But truly on Christmas, it's supposed to be a time of celebration and peace. But as we reflect upon 2016, we may recall several incidents where peace seems to be taken away from us. For example, ISIS, terrorism, terrible. When we hear about what happens in the Middle East or around the world, do we have peace? Seeing so many earthquakes around the world, and some of us may have some of our loved ones there, do you have peace? Or perhaps something closer to us, Zika virus, of course not so big, but something so small, a small insect, yet it can take away the peace from us. In fact, a few months ago, it was just right at our doorstep. BBTC, even mosquito wants to come to church. Do we have peace then? Or perhaps an accident that happens this year. Someone who is sick. Or lost someone that you love. Your job. Bills to pay. Deadlines to meet. Yes, it's Christmas. But do we have peace? Are you anxious or feeling stressed about what is going to happen ahead of you? As you look back in 2016, do you have peace as you enter into 2017? The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And in this world, you will have trouble. But in Jesus, you will have peace. But where is this peace that God has promised? Is it for real? The good news is this. We can have this peace today. But how? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. But before we begin, let's talk to the Prince of Peace and ask Him to speak to us, shall we? Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much for giving us your life. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for showing us the way. Today, even as we celebrate Christmas, we want to remember Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who reached out to us. In light of your scriptures, help us to understand who Jesus is as the Prince of Peace and how we can receive this peace from you this Christmas. So now quieten our hearts, open our eyes to behold wonderful truths out of your law. Now as your servant dearly loved by you, speak for your word. May the words that come up from my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A man was panting and looked troubled when he approached a farmer near a field. The man then asked the farmer, "Sorry, sir, would you mind if I go across your field instead of going around it? You see, I really had to catch the last train at 6 o'clock. The farmer looked at the man. "Sure, please go ahead. In fact, if my bull see you, you may even catch the 5:45 one." Now the man looked really even more troubled. No one wants to remain troubled, or shall we undermine others' troubles? Yet there is a promise that God wants to give to us in times of troubles, and that is peace. That brings me to the text for our consideration this morning, taken from Philippians chapter 4, where Paul shared with us how he has learned to find peace in the midst of troubles and uncertainty. But first, let's take a look at its context. The letter Philippians is written by Paul, the apostle, to a church whom he dearly loved. And he longed to see them, but he could not because he was in prison awaiting trial before the emperor Nero for his faith in Jesus. Yet in this book, if you study it, you will discover the theme for this book is joy. Yes, even when Paul could be executed after the trial and the church was in trouble, Paul found joy and peace. That's why I would like to share with you three key lessons that we can learn from Paul in finding peace in times of trouble. With that, can I get you to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7 at a count of 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thanks for reading. The Lord bless the reading of His Word. The text begins with telling us that Paul loved the church, but there are conflicts in the church. Two ladies were not too happy with each other. The phrase, "I plead," is repeated to stress Paul's urgent call for them to reconcile. For the unity of the church was at stake. And he named them, not to shame them, but to address them personally and lovingly. Verse 2 and 3 then continue to tell us they were Christian, for their names were written in the book of life. And this Christian have fought alongside Paul in the advancing of God's kingdom. Yet, they were not in good terms. Therefore, Paul sent this letter to ask the church to help the ladies to make peace and also to teach them how they could receive this peace which he was experiencing even in jail. A peace when you are facing challenges. A peace when things don't go your way. A peace when you do not know what to do. A peace when you are stuck. A peace that is not of this world. A peace that only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can give to you. Peace. That brings me to the first point for the day. We can have the peace of God in us when we learn to pray to the Prince of Peace. A story was told of a couple, 60 years old, celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. It was then an angel appeared to them, saying, "Congratulations, the Lord is pleased with your marriage and would like to give each one of you a wish. So what do you want? Ladies first." The old lady then said, "I wish I could go to Disneyland with my husband." Boom. Two tickets immediately appear on her hands. The angels then look at the old man and ask him, "What do you want?" The man look at his wife and say, "How I wish my wife would be 30 years younger than me." Boom. This time, the angel disappear. The old man look at his wife, but there was no change. Then the wife say, "Oh dear, hubby, you look like 90 now." When it comes to prayer, we need to be specific. Paul teaches us specifically how we are to pray in order to receive the peace of God. And Paul began by asking the church to rejoice. If you miss it again, he say again, "Rejoice." Now, church, repeat after me. Rejoice. Rejoice. Doesn't sound convincing. One more time. 1, 2, 3. Much better. Great. First, we must rejoice, for a lack of peace often steals away the joy from our heart. And it is given as a command. In other words, it is not based on how we feel, but it's a matter of the will. It's a choice that we need to make. But it doesn't make sense for us to rejoice when things are falling apart. Yet Paul commanded us to rejoice always. But how? Unless the rejoicing is done in the Lord. The phrase "in the Lord" tells us that the word rejoice is a dependent word. Similarly, in verse 1, stand firm in the Lord. Verse 2, be of the same mind in the Lord. Meaning we are to do it with the grace and the strength from the Lord, or for the reason given by God. In the Lord. If not, no one in their right mind will rejoice unless we know why we are doing it. So with that, Paul gave us 3 reasons why we can rejoice in the Lord. He said, firstly, God is near. This could mean that God is with us when we are in trouble. So rejoice. Or when things get really tough, let's not forget that Jesus is coming back for us soon. So rejoice. Church, this world is not our home. Don't get too comfortable. The second reason is we have a testimony to uphold. Verse 5 tells us that let your gentleness be evident to all. In other words, people are watching how you live. Their salvation is at stake. They need to know that there is a God who cares and who can help. And we don't do it just with our words, but we must do it also with our lives. So rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Finally, the last reason Paul gave is that we can pray. In fact, Paul gave us 2 words to describe this: prayer and petition. What is the difference? You see, the word prayer in Greek has the idea of talking to God. In other words, the focus is on God. Knowing that our God is a big God. It's bigger than our problems. Now, petition. The word in Greek is to bring our requests to God. Not because that God is not aware of our needs, but it's for us to acknowledge our total dependence up to the Lord. In addition to that, Paul adds that we are to do so with thanksgiving. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You see, church, learning to give thanks, learning to count our blessing is the key to unlock the door for us into the presence of the Almighty God. So, rejoice, give thanks, know that God is good and powerful before you tell God your problems. God loves you and He cares. The story was told of a landlord who was collecting his some rental. After paying, the tenant took the opportunity to request for a repair, saying, oh, sir, your roof is leaking. Rain keeps coming down. The floor gets wet. So when is this going to stop? The landlord said with a smile, when the rain stops. Our God is not like the landlord. He cares. He's here not to get, but to give. He has given us His Son, and His Son has given us His Spirit. He cares. That's why 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your worries on Him because He cares for you. So, give your problems to God by talking to Him. Then verse 7 promises us this: the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now, God did not promise that He will always take away our problems, which sometimes He does. Rather, He said that He will give us peace that's beyond our understanding. A peace that we may not be able to explain, but we must be able to experience when it is there. A peace that will guard our hearts and mind from stress, fear, anxiety, and even worry. About 2 months ago, I was facing some challenges at work. I remember that night I could not sleep. So I told my wife I needed some time alone with the Lord I went to my study room and read and pray. It was then the Lord assured me and even taught me what I should do next. And I went back to the room and there was this peace that I could not explain. My wife was surprised and said, "That's fast. Are you okay?" And then I told her, "Yes, the Lord has spoken." She immediately asked me, "What did the Lord say?" And I told her, two words. For effect, I paused for a while. The first two words of John chapter 14 verse 1. Knowing my wife, she would pick up the Bible and find out. And she did. The context is this. John was telling us that Jesus just shared with his disciple that he would be leaving them. He would die on the cross for them. That night, many hearts were troubled. It was then the Lord says, Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not. Jesus then continued to say, trust in me. Trust also in God. Trust in Jesus whom you can see at that time. And trust in God whom you may not be able to see. That is where Paul also tells us this. Do not. Do not be anxious about anything. We have a choice to choose not to. For God will see us through and God can be trusted. So church, do not. Similarly, these two words from God is good enough for me. And I slept like a baby that night. A huge baby though. Church, Jesus did not promise a smooth Christian journey. All the days of our lives. Rather, Jesus promised us peace. And we have a part to play. This is what we can do. First, count your blessing. I keep a journal where one part of it, I will write down my thanksgiving. What God has done for me and in me almost daily. And when I'm anxious, I will take them out and then start to read them. They will remind me that my God is faithful. Second, worship. When we worship, it reminds us that our God is bigger than our problems. We should do it daily, especially before we start the day. Even if it's just one song or two, it helps. Lastly, then pour your heart to God. Come to Him with your questions and requests. And don't be surprised that when God shows up, that He might just answer some of your concerns in His time. So, when we do that, we will receive this peace of God that the God of peace promised. So my brothers and sisters, how are you feeling this Christmas? Do you have peace? Are you facing some challenges, problems, struggles, or troubles? Is it about your work or ministry? Is it a relationship? Is it your family? Your health, your work, your children? Do you have peace? Now do not be anxious. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not. Instead, trust in God. Trust also in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Hold on to His promises. And when you look back, you will find Him faithful. And know that He will be there for you. That brings me to the second point for the day. The God of peace will be with us when we obey the Prince of Peace. Of course, God has promised to never leave us or forsake us. But I believe Paul is talking about the presence of God and the pleasure of God in our lives when we obey Him. So having the peace of God is not good enough. The best is to have the God of peace with us. A man went to seek help from a consultant. He began by asking a question. "Sir, how much do you charge?" The consultant replied, $500 for 3 questions. The man exclaimed, "Wow, that is very expensive. Is it usually so expensive?" The consultant answered, "Yes. What is your 3rd question? Oh, God does not charge us. In fact, He promised us that He will show us immeasurably more than what we can imagine when we ask Him. So to find out more, can I get you to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 to 9 at a count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Thanks for reading. You see, after we have given thanks, prayer, or even worship, we still have to face the reality. That's where the test begins. The devil will start to put thoughts in our minds saying, are you sure God says? What makes you think that God will help you? I'm not sure if the devil talks like that. But this is when we need to learn to guard our mind. That's why Paul tells us that we are to think of whatever that is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Because Proverbs 23 verse 7 tells us this, for as one thinks within himself, so he is or become. In other words, the person keep thinking about what is false, negative, impure, terrible, unworthy. We can imagine after a few years what kind of person this person will turn out to be. Sometimes we call that ungodly beliefs. So watch what goes into your mind. Now I'm not talking about positive thinking or self-denial or deceive yourself. Because the context tells us that this thing that we are put into our minds refers to the things that God has spoken to us. For example, cast your burdens up to Jesus because He cares for you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, and the peace of God will be with you. Do not be troubled. Trust in Jesus. The point is, whatever God has promised and said, they are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. So think about God and think about His holy word. Someone once said that when you are troubled and cannot sleep, stop counting sheep. Start thinking about the shepherd. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, our minds must be strictly occupied with higher things and not to be easily distracted by little things which naturally arise among us as imperfect human beings. Romans 12:2 tells us that our mind must be renewed by the word of God. I remember when I first started to work as an IT engineer, I had to work in my customer server room to solve technical problems. And often I had to do it alone. And I'm not allowed to bring any resources except my pager, if you know what is, you still know what is it. And some notes, not even my laptop. And some of the problems are not so straightforward. The worst is that server rooms can be really cold. In a cold, quiet, and lonely room. I had to try to resolve the problems as fast as I could. But the same error message kept appearing, and my heart began to beat faster, faster, and faster. And my mind could not think clearly anymore. The cycle went on and on and on and on. It was then I would recap some of the verses that I've memorized, like Proverbs 3, 5, 6, Isaiah chapter 29, 26, verse 3. And I tutor my mind with the word of God. My heart then received this peace that I could not explain. It was then I could think clearly and then proceed with the work before me. You see, the truth is this, my brothers and sisters. The battle is often fought here in our mind. Whoever controls our mind controls our lives. So guard it. And only let the things of God go in. But don't stop there. Because Paul then continued to tell us in verse 9 that we are to put into practice whatever that we have learned, received, heard, and seen. In fact, this is how we should grow towards spiritual maturity. Using the different senses that God has given to us. Light. We are to see with our eyes, hear with our ears, learn with our mind, receive with our heart God's truth, and put them into practice with our hands. The point is this. Whatever God has impressed upon you, do it. Obey. And the God of peace promised He will be there for you. So how does it work? Again, do your quiet time. Ah, that sounds simple. But do it regularly. Memorize and meditate on God's word. If you have stopped doing so, can I suggest to you, start again in 2017. Then reject all ungodly beliefs that contradicts to what God says, and replace them with what God says. Finally, obey. For thinking about it is not good enough. You see, we need to do something about it. I can think about God's word day and night, but I don't do my job well, the problem remains. So workers, pay your dues. Students, study hard. Bosses, don't cut corners. Husband, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Parents, parent your child. Children, honor your parents. Leaders, don't cruise. Lead. For church, we must move from rejoicing to praying, to thinking to doing, and then living out what we truly believe. And as we journey with God, God is also molding us to be the person He wants us to be. Our being. Christ-likeness. And as we learn to listen and obey, the God of peace will be with us. Emmanuel. Years ago, there was this boy who was facing some problems at home. Knowing that, I went to look for him. We sat down at the staircase near his house, and he started to cry as he shared with me what happened at home. As a young man then, I was stuck. I didn't know what to say. Do I say God cares? Do I say God is in control? Do I say everything is going to be alright? To be honest, I really didn't know what I can do for him. It was then I started to pray quietly. God, what's next? It was then the Lord impressed upon my heart to just keep quiet and be there. I remember very clearly that I was just keeping very quiet for a long time. Something like this. And I can still remember the boy sobbing. I started to put my hands on his back and again kept quiet throughout and just be there. And after our time together, the boy thanked me and told me, said that it was really helpful. But I did nothing. Oh, that's not true. I was there for him. And Jesus was there too. We are not alone. No, I'm not saying that we should keep quiet all the time, or we must say something or do something. Rather, what I'm saying is, whatever God has impressed upon your heart, do it. And that's good enough. Often there are times where I look at what happens around me and I start to question, God, where are you? Are you still with me? Often deep inside my heart, God will say, yes, my son, I am with you. When you are struggling, I am there. When you are crying, I am there. When you are stuck, I'm there. When you are in pain, I'm there. When you are lost, I am there. I'm there for you, my son and my daughters. I am there for you. But why God didn't do anything? Oh, He did. It may seem that God remains silent, but He was there for you. The God of peace was there and will be there for you. So church, what have you been thinking about this Christmas? Are you thinking about what is false, ignoble, wrong, impure, unlovely, ugly, terrible and unworthy? Or are you thinking about what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent and praiseworthy? What are you thinking about now? Think about God and His holy word. And then put it into practice, whatever you have learned, received, heard and seen. In other words, obey. You see, the principle of life, if we want God to intervene in our situation, we have to do it His way. So obey. So brothers and sisters, what is that one thing that God has asked you to do, but you have not done it yet? Is it to say sorry to someone? Visit someone this Christmas? Share the gospel with someone? Give someone a hug? Or tell your spouse that I love you? Tell your colleagues, I really appreciate you? tell your friend, buy me a gift. No, I'm just kidding. The point is this, whatever God has said, do it. But I'm scared. Oh, but the God of peace will be there for you. He will be there for you as you obey. Is that all? Not really. Because it will be wrong on my part if I end this message at this point. Because the truth is this, whatever I just shared with you may not work for everyone. What? Why? Oh, because the text is written for believers. Remember, the church was facing some problems. Therefore, Paul penned down this word for them. Now, let me explain this lovingly, especially to our non-Christian friends here. It is not that God is not there for you. In fact, God loves you, my friend. But the text does not apply to some of you, because a person who does not believe in Jesus will not pray to Jesus and worship Him. A person who does not believe in Jesus will not read the Bible to find out what God says. So, how can we expect the person to obey? How then can we expect the person to experience this peace of God, even if the God of peace wants to be there for them? That brings me to the last point for the day. We can have the peace of God, who is for us, when we believe in the Prince of Peace. Let's take a look, a closer look at the earlier text again. Verse 1. It begins with, therefore. Therefore. The word therefore tells us there's something more before this that we must not miss. What's that? Can I get you to read for me Philippians chapter 3, 20 to 21. At the count of 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thanks for reading. Paul reminded us that our citizenship is in heaven. Again, this world is not our home. We have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming back for us again soon. Therefore, we eagerly await His second coming. And then all things will fall into place under His power, and we will be transformed to be like Jesus with a new body, with no more pimples and wrinkles. Sounds good. Therefore, stand firm in the Lord. New Living Translation put it this way, stay true to the Lord. For Christian, it means let's not forget that we already have peace with God the day we believe in Jesus. You are a Christian, then live like one. For those who have not believed in Jesus, let me encourage you to make peace with God today. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since you have been justified through faith, in other words, since you believe in Jesus, you will have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. For God demonstrated His own love for us in this, while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. My friend, God loves you. You may not know Him, but He knows you. To believe in Jesus, you must first get to know Him. A teacher once asked a boy, John, if you had $2, and then you ask your father for another dollar, how much will you get in the end? John immediately replied, zero. The teacher was shocked and said, John, you do not know how to count. John replied, teacher, you do not know my father. For all of us, we need to get to know this awesome Father in heaven. So let me introduce to you the Almighty God. Take a look at the scriptures over there. Or there, or there, or there. The last sentence tells us that our God is a God who demonstrates unfailing love, kindness, justice, and righteousness. In other words, God is loving, He's just, He's righteous, and holy. Now, you see, God is the one who created all of us. He loves us, and we are meant to be together with Him. But we all have done something wrong. For example, we have lied before. We might even stolen or cheated someone before. Oh, but just being angry with someone is wrong. And the Bible calls that sin. And because God is holy, therefore we are separated from God, and we cannot be with God again. In other words, we no longer have peace with God. And God is just. So when we do something wrong or we sin, we will be punished. The Bible tells us that the punishment for sin is death. or hell. Some people try to get back to God by doing good works, helping people, which is good, or religion, coming to church, at least on Christmas, or giving money to the poor, which is good as well, or just being good. But all this cannot save us or bring us back to God. However, the good news is this: God is loving. He loved us so much that He demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin. The video you just watched happens 2,000 years ago. He took our punishment for us. He was put to death on the cross, but was raised from the dead 3 days later. Then God promised, if we turn away from our sin and we believe and repent and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He will cleanse us from our sin, and then we will be saved and be with God again. But why must it be Jesus? Because Jesus is the only one who is pure and holy. So Jesus is only the only one who can take away the penalty from us. Jesus is the only way for us to be saved. All you need to do is to believe in Jesus and you will be saved. The question is this, my friend: where are you? Are you here or are you here? Are you separated from God? Make peace with God today. Believe in Jesus, and the peace of God will just be the byproduct, and the God of peace will be with you. My grandmother became a Christian only at a later stage of her life. She was the eldest among the siblings. Since young, she was seen to be a very strong woman with a very bad temper. It was after she became a Christian that her life was transformed. The impression I had of my grandmother after her conversion was she was a kind and loving woman. It was this peace and gentleness that I'd never seen in her before that. I would often go and look for her when I'm down, and she never failed to encourage and comfort me. I remember when I took out my wisdom tooth. Alright, she was the first person who called to find out how I was and advised me what I could do after the extraction. Once she was very sick and was hospitalized, it was then I went to the hospital to look for her. When I entered the ward, I couldn't find her. Of course, I was worried and quickly looked for the nurse. And the nurse told me, say, oh, your grandmother suddenly want to have her hair cut. So now she's in the shared toilet. So I went to the shared toilet and I saw my uncle, auntie there trying to cut her hair. It was funny. And I still remember the smile and the laughter that day. The very next day, my grandmother passed away. At the wake, I remember my auntie came to me and said this to me: now I know why your grandmother want to have a haircut that day. Of course, I asked why. And she replied, because she knew that she's going to see Jesus soon. I guess she's right. If not, I can always ask my grandmother when I see her in heaven. You see, my friends, God did not only transform my grandmother's life, He transformed mine. And my grandmother found peace with God and the peace of God after she met the God of peace. And when you have Jesus in your heart, you will find peace even when you face death. This is why Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Because this peace is not of this world. Only the Prince of Peace can give. And no one can snatch it away from you ever again. Now the story did not end there, because during my grandmother's funeral, one of my uncles actually shared with us that my grandmother's last wish is for my auntie to come to believe in Jesus. Even at her last breath, she wants to share with her loved one about Jesus. Why? Because this is the good news that has changed her life and her family. That's why we celebrate Christmas, my friend. The question now to you is, do you know Jesus, the Prince of Peace? Do you have peace with God? Do you know that God loves you? It is not that there will be no more problem after believing in Jesus. But this Christmas, the God of peace wants to come into your life to give you peace if you choose to believe in Jesus today. He did it for me and many of us here. He wants to do it for you if you are willing to say, yes, I believe. Now, my friends, today is the day to be safe. Today is the day to receive the peace of God. Today is the day to be with the God of peace. Today is the day to make peace with God. Today is the day to say, yes, I believe. And all you need to do is just to say a prayer, to tell God, yes, God, I believe. So now can I request all of you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Now if you are not a Christian, and today you say, after I heard the good news, I want to believe in Jesus. God wants to come into your life to help you. Or perhaps you have backslided. Jesus is still waiting for you. Will you take this chance to rededicate your life to God? If your answer is yes, please repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I want to thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I admit that I've done what is wrong. Please forgive me. I believe Jesus has died for me, but you raised him from the dead 3 days later. Now please come into my life to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please keep your eyes closed because we would like to pray for those who have prayed this prayer. But first, for those who have prayed this prayer, can I just get you to just raise your hand in response to God before we pray for you? If you have said that prayer, can you just get you to raise your hand? Yes, God sees your hand, sister. Even those at the gallery, you have said a prayer, just raise your hand to God. Yes, God sees your hand, uncle. Anybody else? You're not responding to the man, you're responding to God. Just put up your hands and say, God, I believe. Yes, I believe. And we will pray for you. Yes, God sees your hand. Father, I pray for my friends here. The first time they raised their hand or they did rededicate their lives to you, I ask in the name of Jesus, the Lord, that you will bless them. You will help them so that God, that indeed you will come into their lives to be our Lord and Savior. I pray that you will bless them so that this journey ahead will be something beautiful. I pray the Lord that they will know you as much as you know them. So I bless them and pray the Lord they will grow from now on. I bless them and give thanks to you in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Congratulations for those who have prayed a prayer. Shall we give God a big hand for the salvation? My friend, you have just made peace with God. And for those who are still thinking, don't take too long. Encourage you to speak to a Christian when you are ready. God loves you. Let me share with you one more testimony before we end. You see, this month was a challenging month for me. Reason, because before school end, I was given an assignment to do the timetable for the school. I'm not sure, have you done that before? But at first when I received this assignment, I thought, how difficult can it be? But it was not easy. So many teachers, so many subjects, so many classes. They are mentoring, they are meetings, they are recess time. I had to put everything together in a few hours. It was then I realized that peace is taken away from me. This timetable is really not easy. It was then I shared with my colleague who is not a Christian. Then she turned to me and said, but you can pray. That's my message. It was then I realized that I better apply what I've learned and see whether it works. After 1 month, I want to tell you that it works. At least 2 days ago, I'm done with the timetable. Hallelujah. But then I realized that the test is not the timetable. The test is not even the message. The test is, do I have the peace of God in my heart even I seek to practice what I preach? And the truth is this, my friend, I want to share with you with confidence and convictions that whatever I share with you just now, it works because my God is real. So my brother and sisters, do you have this peace of God? Do you know that the God of peace is with you? Today I know. Do you? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads again. Take this moment to just ponder about what God has impressed upon your heart this morning. For when the word of God is preached, God desires for His people to respond to Him. And we'd like to pray for three groups of people here that the Lord has laid upon my heart. You see, Christmas is a time for celebration, but you are anxious and troubled. You need the peace of God right now, at least for the following three areas. First, your family. There are some conflicts at home. You really need God's peace to see you through. You do not know when this will end, but you need God to be there with you. Second, your health. Or someone you love is sick. Health is not doing too good. You need God's healing grace and peace. The last group, you're worried about your job, your future. You do not know what is ahead. The economy is not doing so well. God wants you to know He knows and He cares. And God is speaking to you, and that you are these three groups of people. Can I get you to raise your hand and respond to God, and we will pray for you. Yes, God sees your hand. God sees your hand. In humility, just raise your hand to God and say, God, sees my hand. Yes, those in the gallery, God sees your hands. Don't respond to a man, respond to God today. Father, give my brother and sisters peace today. Help them to experience you. Help them to know that, Lord, you love them, you care for them as they cast their burdens up to you, as they learn to rejoice, learn to pray, learn to worship, learn to think what you have just said to them and put into practice whatever they have learned. I pray in the name of Jesus that they will receive this peace of God. And God, be with my brothers and sisters. Whether is it family, whether is it health, whether is it their future, they are in your hand. And I pray the Lord that you will bless them, grant them the desire of their hearts, and untie the knot that brings the troubles, so that you will be glorified and they will know that God of peace is with them. So I bless them and commit them to you. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Church, can I get you to rise? You should sing this closing song. To sing this closing song, we'd like those who have raised your hand or prayed a prayer to take the step of faith to come forward as a commitment to God this Christmas. Tell God that you are serious about this. God is here. He wants to minister to you. If you just want to be on your own to dedicate yourself to God, then can I just cut you to come to your left. Come and build an altar up to the Lord this Christmas. Don't miss this Christmas. It's special. And for those who may need someone to pray for you, you are not alone. You should not be alone. Now come to your right. The elders, the leaders, and pastor would like to pray for you. You are not alone. Let's sing the closing song again.
My peace, who has broken down.
Respond to God. Yeah, just come.
He is my peace.
those who have brought your friends, I want to encourage you to also ask if your friend is keen to just come forward for us to pray for them. This is a precious moment. Take this time to just come. For those who have raised your hand, just come. Commit yourself to the Lord. Don't let this moment pass. You're not responding to men. We are not counting. It is about you and God. So don't miss this place if you have not transacted with the Lord, the God of peace. So as we sing the last time, come forward and just give whatever that is upon your heart to God. Now repeat this prayer after me. Almighty God, Prince of Peace, teach me to rejoice in you always and not to be anxious about anything. Teach me to pray and to know there's nothing too hard for you. Grant me this peace that is not of this world, so that my gentleness can be evident to all. Speak to me and help me to obey you. Be with me this day and even 2017. For your glory alone, I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, let's give Jesus praise. Now may the peace of God and the Prince of Peace be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Blessed Christmas, church.